12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Brave the dark woods of folk horror with us in this Vaesen actual play, The Hidden North. Remember, 12-sided stories are always story-heavy, rules-light, and full of fright.
Hello, everyone. This is Wes Otis, and you are now listening to The Hidden North, episode number 4. I have some amazing players. Let's start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and we started with me. And I am playing Greta Nielsen, your local academic, and both of us are she/her.
Hello, everyone. I am Piper. I use they/them pronouns, and today I am playing Elizabeth Purse, who uses she/they pronouns. Elizabeth is a writer and a little bit callous in very serious situations, and would rather take notes than comfort.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. I am here today playing Hildegard Brunson, the doctor, just doing their level best. Both of us use they, she pronouns.
Saint.
Yes. Last but not least, I'm playing Sieve Kask. And well, I guess it's courageous to just like touch things you know are probably cursed, because that's what just happened. So I guess that's a bit of an arc. A little less cowardly, a little more stupid.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, this is a great place for a recap. In the last episode, you all found out that you had died twice and you are being affected by some kind of Vaesen curse that keeps sending you back in time. And you've tried different things, and for some reason you can't break this particular cycle. So this time when you ended up in Uppsala, instead of going directly to talk to Linnea at the asylum, you decided to go to the site of your first investigation. It is of this man who claims that his wife was stolen by this entity that was hiding itself in darkness. And you went directly there and found him crying in a puddle of dried blood. You also found that his children had been kidnapped or turned into sticks and ribbons and things like that. One of those two things happened. It was pretty horrifying. They had mouths with dried out umbilical cords. And you were looking around trying to figure out, number one, this guy's kids could still be alive, and it really bugged Hildegard. That was blubbering. It's like, come on, we need to find these children. You can cry later. Sieve was in the opposite end. So Hildegard, Elizabeth, and Greta were all in the children's room looking at the sticks that were the kids at some point. So all of you are in the children's room while Sieve is in the parents' bedroom where the bassinet was. The other thing, you all found rosary beads set up as a circle, as a clock face, under each of the beds. But they didn't have the string. They were broken rosary beads.
Were the crosses there?
No, there's no crosses. When you're looking around, you do notice, all of you, that there are places where something was hanging and was violently smacked off the wall. And if you search, you will find a couple of bent crosses. When we ended, Sieve had decided to take a closer look at the baby, really pick up this twig baby and find out what was going on. Even thought about breaking it open to see if there was a talisman or some kind of other magical thing inside of it. But as they were looking at this baby closely, it turned to her and smiled and said, "Mama," and was reaching out for her. And that's where we ended the last episode. So we need a fear check from Siv. I'm going to say you're going to need two successes. You can pick empathy or logic. And unfortunately, you do not get a bonus because the other people are in the other room. So you're by yourself.
Just alone?
Just alone.
Trying to be helpful?
Yeah.
I should retire. Well,
so shortest game ever.
And I'm the Fuck youngest, it. Too. I chose a 20-year-old. Yeah, that's why I'm being a dummy. No offense, any 20-year-old listeners. Empathy, I have 4. So we're just going with 4. Wow, I had 3 5s and a 1. It's like they're mocking me.
Nice. All right, so you have to choose something to do. You get to choose the flee, freeze, faint, or attack.
Ah, I think I'm going to have to attack this time.
Okay.
Would like throwing something away from my body be attack, or is that flee?
Well, if you just drop it and run, that's not an attack. Throwing it violently against the wall, that's an attack.
I am going to throw it.
I'm not going to make you make a roll. It's just a reaction. You just huck it at this wall and let out this yell. The twig baby hits the wall, slides down behind the bassinet, and you hear scampering.
Okay.
And in the other room, you hear this scream, and it takes your attention away for a moment. And then you hear the sounds of twigs moving, and you glance back, and the other children sit up in their bed and turn towards you, each staring at you with dead button eyes.
Nope, 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 nope.
The three of you need to make a fear check as well. You get a +2 because the others are in the room.
And fear is which one?
It's either logic or empathy. It's whichever you want to pick.
So because I'm in a room with stick dolls that do have damaged human body parts attached to them, technically, does that satisfy my talent?
What is your talent again?
My talent is Army Medic, gain +2 to fear tests when frightened by dead or damaged human bodies.
Oh, that's a stretch.
Is it?
Yeah, it kind of is, because it's just one umbilical cord. It's not a whole body.
I mean, I feel like one umbilical cord is the equivalent of like 6 legs. I'm just saying.
You know what? I would usually fight on this, but Candace, I like you so much, I'm going to let it pass.
Thanks.
You get it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Because this is rough. So.
No, it is rough.
How many successes?
You just need 1. Actually, no, you need, I believe, did I say 2 for you? I think I said 2 for
Steve. Yes.
Oh, wait, we all get extra 2 because we're all in the room.
Yeah, you get extra 2 dice. I'm going to say that you all need 1 success, and here's why. Steve picked up the baby and had it right in their face, and it talked to them. These are just sitting up and looking at you, which is horrifying enough, but I think it's a little different. So you all need 1 success. You got it?
Yep, got 1.
All right.
Elizabeth also got 1.
Okay. What about Hildegard?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That tracks. That tracks for Candace.
No. No. Don't worry about me. I'll be over here clawing my eyes out. It's okay.
All right. So you need to pick. First, you take a condition.
Oh, I think I'm frightened.
You need to flee, freeze, faint, or fight.
I think it's probably going to be a flee.
Okay.
Like, this isn't a natural reaction for Hildegard. She's usually pretty tough, but I think, like, the shock of being this freaked out just propels her out the door. Like, she's just like, nope, I'm okay.
All right, cool. You suddenly find yourself outside of the cottage, and you notice that there is a couple of police officers coming towards the gate, and you can hear the sound of a ringing bell. Whenever anything bad happened and the police needed to be summoned, they would ring a bell to draw attention to whatever area they were in. And this police officer comes up to the gate and goes, "Hello, we got reports of yelling and screaming from neighbors from just now. So we're coming over here to make sure everything's okay. Are you okay? You look a bit flustered."
"Nein,
And I am not okay. I am doing my best.
He opens up the gate door, walks over and says, is there anyone else in the house? Were you injured?
No, I am not injured. You might want to send more police. There's something inside. I don't know if your team can handle it. I have some people in there. A woman has vanished. She has disappeared. She has been taken. We don't know where she's been taken, just that she has.
I think Hildegard puts a hand out on his shoulder to steady herself. She's pretty anxious, and depending on how big he is, she's like looming over him or perhaps staring him eye to eye.
You're probably looming. How tall do you think you are?
I think she's six feet or 6'2", somewhere in there.
Most people back then were like 5'9". So you are, yeah, you are a tall one.
Yeah.
Let me explain the officers real quick. He is an older gentleman. He has a large mustache that connects into his sideburns and a little patch of no hair at all underneath his lip. He has worked to get this. This is what hipsters wish they could do now, but it's been lost to time. It doesn't work anymore. The other officer is femme presenting. They are younger with shock red hair, like really shockingly red hair, tied up in the back, has a little helmet on. And the second officer immediately starts to look around the perimeter, checking things out on the outside. The other officer that you're holding on to says, my partner's going to check things out here. If you want to stay out here, you can, but I feel I should go inside and take a look real quick, okay? But you stay out here as long as you need to.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Just please understand, when you go inside, you are not dealing with normal things, okay? It's not normal in there. It's very, do you believe in the supernatural?
Of course. It's all around us all the time.
Okay. Proceed with caution.
Like, he says that he believes, and she just taps him and pushes him toward the door. I think their other hand comes up and kind of, like, feels frantically for the necklace that they wear.
All of your stuff is there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, they take it out and wrap their fingers around the gemstone and just stare back at the house and try to catch their breath.
When you wrap your hand around it, you notice that there's something on the chain.
I take it out.
There's a single rosary bead on the chain.
In place of or in addition to the gem?
In addition to. Well, no, it's on the actual necklace part, on the rope part.
Got it.
That's connected. The gems, everything else is normal. It's just a single bead.
Just like worked into the chain though, right? Like not added to it.
No, over the chain.
Mm-hmm. So the way that a rosary bead is like inlaid with the chain?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Fuck. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Oh, I hate that so much. Oh, my God. Reformed Catholic Candace is displeased by that. Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, wait. How many Catholics do we have here today?
Oh, my God.
Michelle taught at Catholic school for a while.
The religion is scary.
I went to Catholic.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's gross. I hate it.
That's really funny.
All right, this is something scary specifically designed for me right now.
So, yeah, you see that. Now, I'm not going to make you make a fear check.
She's not happy. They start to pace now. They were calming down. Now they're pacing.
Back inside, right before the police show up, you see Hildegard move like lightning out the front door, freaked out. And all of your attention is on that. Meanwhile, the guy is staring the opposite way. And see, you've thrown this twig baby against the, and I keep making sure I say twig baby, against the wall. It slides behind the bassinet and you heard scurrying away. Then you hear the front door slam. What do you do?
So was the door to this room closed?
No, it was open and you did see a shadow go by, but you were focused on what you were doing. So you're not sure what happened with the door.
Eyes toward immediate danger, always.
Correct, yes.
So this creature is still in the room with me.
That's the theory.
That is what I would assume.
That's the theory.
Okay, so I scuttle back myself, get a better eyeball on the situation. And how big is the bassinet or cradle?
It's a little wooden cradle that's relatively close to the floor because it rocks. It is 2 feet long And it looks incredibly old. They've passed this down generation after generation.
Okay, how many hidden areas could this thing be in?
There's under the bed. There's a lot of dark corners for this thing to scurry into.
Okay, so I have backed up, but have not done anything else. I'm very, very still. Zeeves is holding her breath. Can she hear any indication if this thing is close to the door or if this thing might be on the other side of the room?
You listen very intently and you hear the sounds of rustling twigs, almost like you're in a forest. You look over by the wall and you see this creature crawl up the side of the wall around the corner to where you can't see it anymore by the front door, and then silence.
So I think I will also leave the room now, because staying in here isn't going to help. But if the creature went towards the front door, Steve is definitely going to go the opposite way down, I guess, this hallway.
Right, on the other side. Yeah.
Yes, opposite. So towards where she thinks everybody is in that back room.
Boy, are you in for a surprise.
I realized I didn't take a mental state.
Yeah, you need to pick one, a condition.
I picked frightened. Just
okay.
Logically,
cool.
Yeah.
Logically, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you come out and you go around and you're walking as far over.
Just pressed against the wall.
Yeah.
And looking so intensely into, I guess, the darkness, or a little scuttling baby.
You hear the sound right above you.
Wait, no.
Now let's jump over to the other two. Okay, Elizabeth and Greta, you are in the room still with the children's beds. The stick children have sat up. You looked away for a moment to look at what's going on with Hildegard, who had ran out the front door, and you notice that the man hasn't made any sound. When you turn around, he's just sitting there staring at the beds, and the two children that sat up are no longer in their beds. You don't see them anywhere. And the window is open next to their beds.
They're out in the world.
And the man is just staring at the beds.
Elizabeth looks to Greta. All right, so what do we do about that?
I think we need to get out of here. Yeah.
You know, before coming back, we can go and do some research on what to do about these rosary beads, because I feel if we touch it now, it might be terrible. Let's see if we can get the gentleman out. Sir, are you okay?
And Elizabeth will turn around to address the gentleman.
He doesn't say anything. He doesn't move at all.
I shake him a little bit, sir.
When you shake him, his mouth drops open.
Oh, no.
And hundreds of rosary beads just fall out on the floor.
Oh, oh, God.
And then he falls on the floor. And that's when the police officer opens the door. Hello? Now, when the police officer opens the door, Steve, you are right there looking up at this creature, and the creature scuttles off as soon as the door opens back into the room with its bassinet. And he goes, oh, sorry, didn't see you there. What's going on? We have someone out front saying that a woman has been kidnapped or something.
Oh, yes, there's been a lot of kidnappings. And as Steve is trying to figure out how the hell she can say anything. So it went back into the room. Does the door open outward or inward?
Outward.
Okay. She's trying to not have another casualty. So she shuts the door as she's looking. If she can swing that door closed without getting in front of the doorway, I want to do that. Okay.
He looks at you kind of with a puzzled look. He goes, is there something in there that you don't want me to see?
It's just dangerous. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And you should get maybe back up, and not just you, because there's so many people missing, and they can tell you what's happening. I'm just pointing down the hallway and side scuttling right out the house.
Like a crab, like a hermit crab.
Like a crab, I realize because I saw something scuttle, I guess I'm...
Scuttling.
...saying that word a lot.
That's fine.
But yes, they can... There's been... There's... Just four people are gone. And then I just scoot out that door.
He's very perplexed by all this. Let's jump back in with Elizabeth and Greta. You hear the police officer walking down the hall towards you. The rosary beads are like crimson color. And the way that they're spread out, it looks like a puddle of blood of rosary beads emanating from his mouth as he's lying there.
Is he breathing?
No, he's not.
Elizabeth looks down at a man and looks back up and says, should we? I don't know how to check a pulse.
We need to get out now.
Okay, should we bring him along? We should...
No.
Oh.
Move.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I'm like pushing her towards the door.
You run directly into the police officer and he goes, what is going on? There's so many... Good God, is that man dead?
We don't know.
We need
know.
To get out of this house. If we're outside, I can tell you everything, but I can't do it in here.
All right, well, come with me. Are those rosary beads? Okay. Explain to me outside. So, finally, all of you are together again outside. Both of the police officers are outside. The younger of the two has looked around the outside, and they come up to the older officer, and they say, well, I checked everything out. The side windows open for both bedrooms. All there is back there is a large pile of twigs and, you know, debris from the forest, probably raked up recently. There's a smaller one on the other side, but there's no other sign of breaking an entry, so we have to go inside.
Were there buttons in the piles of twigs?
I didn't look that closely. Should I have?
Yes.
Oh, give me just a second. And they walk around to the side. They go, no, but that's weird. The pile is gone.
Steve just sits down for a second, just on her haunches. And she's looking for a short pile of twigs. Can we actually do an observation check for the backyard?
Absolutely. If you want to go back there and look around, you can.
Now, when I was talking to him originally before the twig children woke up, I had passed my observation role. Did I observe anything about him that would have indicated why him? Why his family?
You did notice a book in the parents' room. It looked like it had a cross on the spine, but it was not a Bible. You did not notice what the name of it was, but it did strike you as strange. And the fact that there's so many rosary beads in this place, it probably is connected to the local Catholic Church, is your guess.
Am I able to go back inside and get the book?
If you'd like to.
I mean, the twig children have run off, so yeah.
That is the theory.
I will cautiously go inside.
Once you go back inside, the police officer follows right behind you. And it is a smaller book. It looks like it's relatively old. And it just says the dangers of pagan Vasen in the modern age by Sister Efke. That's E-F-K-E. It says it's the third printing. It says written in 1738.
And what was the name of it again?
The Dangers of Pagan Vasen in the Modern Age.
And it was written in 1738,
I believe. So let me, before I deal with Steve's question, Hildegard and Elizabeth, I just want to know what you're doing. Are you just staying out front? Are you doing anything in particular?
Hildegard would have seen these stick children leave, right?
You were dealing with the officers. They left out the side.
Okay.
So you did not see them.
So I guess Hildegard was probably just still standing there unless Elizabeth comes and tells her about the children.
Okay.
Yeah, Elizabeth is fully going to come out and kind of look up at Hildegard and say, you don't look okay. It's all right now. We're safe. We're outside. Do you need a hand to hold? So we're going to do some breathing exercises, just breathe in and breathe out. We're all right. We'll figure out what's going on, but we're safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are safe. I have a rosary bead in a place where it should not be.
Do you mind if I see?
Yes, it's here on my necklace.
Elizabeth will take a look at the rosary bead and think about the crosses kind of being off the walls, bent, rosary beads spilling out of the man's mouth. I feel like this is some sort of revenge. There's something malicious, and this is an indicator of that revenge being taken.
Just one rosary bead tells you that?
Our new friend is a bit, past expiry.
Dirt? What? Dead?
I'm not a doctor.
He was just talking and...
He wasn't breathing.
The color starts to kind of drain from her face, and you can feel her trying not to squeeze the fuck out of your hand. They're really trying to not completely crush it. They're still present enough to know they're being tested.
This is not... I have many years of practice in this field. I am maybe not an expert, but I am no novice. And when someone dies, it doesn't just... I mean, sure, it can be sudden, but it's not... This is unusual. And I normally like unusual, but...
I think perhaps our intervention here, I feel like it's being seen at this point. Our changing things. Whatever wants to complete the circle is trying to send us a message that it's still coming. And I feel we'll have to gather ourselves. It will be fine, but we'll have to be careful.
Hildegard kind of steadies, and they kind of rise up to their full height and roll their shoulders back and kind of shake their head.
Okay. You say it's going to be okay. You have faced these things. You've befriended these things, yes?
Elizabeth, I feel like there's kind of a pullback of emotion, and she just smiles. Says, I've had an encounter with one before when I was younger.
I think sensing that wall going up, Hildegard kind of tries to, like, put their other hand around your hand so that you won't remove it.
I am not trying to make any kind of statements or declarations about you. I too have had an experience, much younger than yourself. But I feel as though if you, who can remember, are having this moment, then perhaps we need to just all go and regroup and decide something. Because you're right, this was not supposed to happen for one, two more days. So if it is speeding up and we are getting this now, I agree something is watching us.
Hey, I have some theories. I've written a lot down in my little book. We'll go to the asylum. We'll do the process of getting into the society. And then we can sit down, do some reading, talk, and try to collect ourselves from the... whatever that was inside.
Okay.
They take a bunch of deep breaths and sort of walk it off and start heading to the side of the house, waiting for everybody.
Awesome. Steve, you're kind of looking around the side of the building and then you look in the back. Did you make an observation roll for me?
So I'll do that right now. Just need one, right?
Just need one.
Success? Okay. Yep. 1-6.
All right, cool. So you're looking in the backyard and you're surrounded by... mainly the city, but the backyard is attached to the wilderness. And at the very edge of the wilderness, the forest looks like sun can't penetrate into it. It looks very odd. It just gets really dense and dark quickly. And at the very edge of the bounds, you see a tall figure by a tree with a habit on. And she's holding the stick baby. And then the two other stick children are standing in front of her, kind of dancing around. And she just looks at you, and then they turn around and walk into the forest and disappear into the darkness. Then another moment later, that darkness disappears too. The forest looks normal again. Can I get a fear check? You just need to get one success. Nope.
Oh, I guess it's fair also.
What condition do you want to take?
I'll be angry because I feel like we're being mocked.
Okay.
She's terrified, but she knows when a cat is playing with its prey. And it's very, very obvious that this thing is confident and just waiting for us to fall into its trap, it seems.
Okay. You're pissed off.
I'm pissed off and still scared. Scared and angry. And, oh, do I choose a fight? An F?
Yes, you choose an F.
Okay. Well, I guess opposite of what I did last time, I will flee.
Okay, so you go back around to the front.
Yeah, just like...
You're just flustered.
Done with this for now. Obviously, I need to just not touch anything and don't even look at anything, I guess, as I'm quick stepping back around.
Okay.
I try to find Elizabeth and Hildegard.
They're both, Hildegard and Elizabeth are both out in front. And I'm going to say, unless you want to look out around some more.
I wanted to look at the book, like inside the book.
So you just quickly page through it. There's a lot of full page pictures of what you think are Vaesen and magical symbols. You read a little bit of it, and there seems to be a lot of rituals on how to deal with different Vaesen. And in one of the paragraphs at the very beginning, the sister says, it is unchristian to allow such creatures to live with us. And unfortunately, we have to look to pagan magic sometimes to rid ourselves of their pestilence. So it's a how to get rid of Vaesen book.
Does it have rituals in there to get rid of Vaesen?
Yeah.
Is there a ritual that is a mass, like, killing of Vaesen?
You'd have to do, like, a deep dive. You don't have time for that right now.
Okay.
That's studying the book, and that takes a lot longer.
I have 10 dice waiting to roll on that, so...
Okay. Cool. Do you want to do anything else while you're inside the house, or do you just want the police officers to look around?
The police officers to look around, but if I can just take some quick glances to make sure... Because, you know, in our heightened state of anxiety and fear, we may have missed a few things.
You take one good look around. Definitely, like I said, all of the crucifixes are missing. If you look around the room, you will find them on the floor, underneath furniture, bent and messed up. There are circles of rosary beads under all of the beds, including the parents' bed. It's underneath there as well, and the clock faces. Each of the clocks... faces are pointing to a different area. So there's three clocks altogether. There's one in the kids' room underneath their bunk bed, there's one underneath the bassinet, and there's one underneath the parents' room. The one under the bassinet is pointing at 1 o'clock. The one underneath the kids' room is pointing at 5 o'clock. And then the one underneath the parents' room is pointing at midnight. So obviously it's following their ages. There is a lot of dried blood in the parents' room and the main hallway. There is no blood in the kids' room, which is weird. And if you look at their bedding, it looks like there are leaves and stuff in their bedding and a little bit of dried mud. So they'd been in there for at least a little bit, the stick versions. And the other question is, where did the umbilical cord come from? She just gave birth, you're thinking probably a few weeks ago. It was a newborn baby, so at least within the last month. So was all the umbilical cord from the mom, or was it from a different person?
So, like, I feel this information is meant to inform and calm us, but it's not being delivered in an informational or calming way.
I don't know if I'm trying to calm anyone. I'm just trying to give information.
it's a bummer, Wes, okay? It's a bummer. I don't know if it's from one lady or, like, multiple children, but, you know, who's to say?
Yeah, like, this is there.
Horrifying.
Kiss-kiss-say, maybe. What were you going to say?
Did the cops say... They said they had a call... an hour ago about screaming and stuff, right?
Correct.
And we had just...
You just got there.
And the guy, the Ulrich said it was like the night before he thought that it had happened, right?
Correct.
He thought so much more time had passed. Okay, I just want to make sure I got all that right.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It does seem like there seems to be some time issues, some warping of time. And you do know as a group that Vaesen, especially with troll magic, can sometimes manipulate time in small areas for a certain amount before everything snaps back. So instead of at midnight, the screams were heard at noon, but the guy thought it was midnight. That's the conjecture.
We've seen impenetrable darkness before, so that's not too hard to conceive of.
I attack the darkness.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
What do you all want to do? The police, the older police officer comes out and says, I see what you're talking about when you say that you think it might not be a human thing. Man has rosary beads all the way down his throat. And there's the sticks and stuff in the beds and all the dried blood. I don't think he did any of this. And you all don't have any blood or anything on you. And had you been a part of it, you would have had some sort of spatter. And your reactions are more than human.
This man says his wife was abducted, was taken. And when he checked all of the beds of his children, that's what we found. These stick things. So it is maybe our idea that this is, in fact, yes, supernatural.
Where are you all staying in case we have any questions?
We're staying at Castle Gillenkreutz.
Well, you're free to go. We'll deal with this here. If we have any questions, we'll let you know.
May I ask you one question?
Sure.
Are you aware of any groups, Christian groups, that might be actively trying to, I don't know, do rituals to get rid of Vasin?
Well, I mean, we have a very high Catholic population. I mean, we got a lot of Protestants, too.
But I mean, like a secret group.
Not that I know of, no. I wouldn't say that it's not possible, though. I mean, people do what they do, right?
Right.
Anything else?
Actually, have you any chance heard of any other disappearances?
Oh, we have disappearances all the time. I mean,
maybe something like whole family related.
No, nothing this bad. This is probably one of the worst ones I've seen in my career. But children go missing on a regular basis. A lot of times it's the parents or one of the parents who has done something terrible and tries to hide the body. But unfortunately, it's the world we live in. Especially in the rural communities, it's very difficult to keep track of everyone. Sometimes people have children and they don't tell us. So.
Right. And were you familiar with Ulrich and Margaret before?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't. I mean, we're a smaller city, but we're not a tiny town, so I don't know every single person. But I guess we're going to be getting to know them a lot more because of this. I'll put out a search party. We'll check the woods for the mother and the children and see if we can find something.
I wonder if, when you do look into it, if you can let us know if Margaret and Ulrich registered 6 children? Because he mentioned that, but of course now there was only 3.
Oh, yeah, I can. Or you could go to the Hall of Records and they'll tell you as well. I might be here for a while.
Of course. Duly noted outside of game.
All right. You guys are free to go. Where do you want to go?
I mean, probably to the asylum, right?
I think that maybe we should go to the asylum and start the process of being able to go to Gildenkreutz Castle.
All right. So you all show up at Uppsala Asylum. That's a mouthful. Uppsala Asylum. And this is a relatively well-kept facility. You do hear the sounds of people yelling or talking very loudly. There are 2 sections in this asylum. There's the people who have money, and then there's people that do not. The people that do not, you seem to hear a lot more commotion coming from that side. And it is not a pleasant thing. The nurse leads you to Linnea's room. She is on the poorer side of things, and her door is open, and she is sitting on a bed. She looks like she's in her late 40s, early 50s, but from that time period. So people who are in their 50s now look a lot younger. She does not. She looks like an elderly person. Deep wrinkles, olive skin with curly, like big ringlets of hair on her head. You can tell some of it's fallen out, though. She's got spots where it has given way to probably stress. And she looks up at you all and goes, oh, Hildegard, Elizabeth, Sieve, Greta, I've been anxious to meet you all. And that's where we're going to end this episode. You guys having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Having a great time, Wes.
Yes, yes.
Great time.
Okay. So thank you all so much for playing. And everyone who's listening, thank you so much for listening. Let's find out where everybody is. This time, let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Hildegard Brunson, also known as Candace the Magnificent. You can find me at the Candace Marie over on Twitter and Blue Sky. And you can find me at Candace the Magnificent everywhere else. I am hoping that by the time this missive reaches you, I am doing weekly streams on my Twitch channel, hopefully on Mondays and Wednesdays. We'll see. Look for me on the internet. You can see me in What We Do in the Shallows on every other Saturday at 7:30 p.m. 5e Queer Pirate Horror Campaign over on Matihi's channel. That's Piper, who will probably be going next or maybe third. And you can see me on Chaotic Wholesome Presents. Check me out there, as well as in other podcasts on this wonderful, wonderful channel, 12 Sided Stories.
Hello, everyone. I am Piper. You can find me online on Twitter at Maddie Matihi. You can also find me on Twitch at Matihi. And as Candace had said, every other Saturday on my channel, we run a queer pirate adventure called What We Do in the Shallows. It is a lot of fun. I might be in some more things coming up, but I'll be posting that on Twitter. So if you are interested, please come check it out. It is an honor to be here and my first campaign on 12 Sided Story. I am very excited and having so much fun so far.
Hello, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and you can find me kind of on the internet. On Twitter, I have vestiges of an account at Saint Spider TV. That's SaintSpiderTV. And I'm just holding on to that in case, I don't know, that site becomes good again. So you can find me there, but also more likely you'll find me in the back catalog of 12 Sided Stories and some amazing, amazing campaigns. So check it out.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Playal Games catalog through BattleBards. And you can see Wes and I every Friday night on Twitch on the 12 Sided Stories channel, just talking about gaming stuff. Come join us.
So I'm so glad you've added that to your little spiel so I don't have to. It's excellent. My name is Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12 and then Side Stories on all the socials, as well as our website, which is 12 Sided Stories, all written out, all one word, .com. I know I should have just said the number 12 and then Sided Stories, but this is the way that things work. So check us out there for a bunch of links. Join us on our Discord. We love talking to our Discord people. Also, check out our Patreon. We have tons of back catalog stuff, as well as a new show, Beyond the Outer, which Candace is on right now, and some other wonderful people. We are going to be recording soon, and I can't wait. So we have a lot of horror going around right now, and it's a lot of fun. The last thing is, if you want to help out the show, give us a shout out, give us a review, or join our Patreon and become a supporting member. We'd appreciate that. Thank you, everyone, for playing. This has been really intense and a lot of fun, and I can't wait until we play again. Bye.